Hello and welcome to the Haywood County Schools Report. This is Todd Trantham and I'm going to be your host on the show today. Today we're going to be talking about Haywood County Schools' crisis planning process and just the thought of what we're going through when we do initiate our crisis plan. And my special guest on the show today is Dr. Bill Nolte, our Associate Superintendent. Welcome to the show, Dr. Nolte.
I appreciate you interviewing me today, Mr. Trantham. And we've had crisis plans for a long time. We've done a lot of training with local and regional and even national experts on crisis situations. We have great people in our community from law enforcement to emergency mess rescue, fire, medical, who help us put all this together. But we've never really had a podcast or written press releases about what we actually do. So we thought it would be a good time to share some of that.
And really what we're going to do today is talk about the thought process that we go through as far as communication during a crisis. We're not necessarily going to break into our crisis plan and go into detail. That wouldn't be very smart.
Yeah, we don't want to tell the bad guys where our evacuation points are.
Exactly.
We want to go and then tell parents where, you know, where their child is after we get them there, almost there.
So we're going to begin just as we have just heard about a crisis. So what happens? What are we thinking about, both from a school level and from a central office level, when we first hear about a crisis?
Well, the first thing that we're going to do is the school's going to notify law enforcement and us really quickly, probably in that order, because if it's a significant enough situation, we want law enforcement officials there or fire, depending upon what's going on. Because when they arrive, they're in charge of almost everything that goes on. So we'll have that quick notification. And again, almost simultaneously, people at the site, principals, assistant principals, guidance counselors, teachers, and other people that we send to that site are focused on safety and security of children. So we will have people working sometimes the first 15 minutes, sometimes the first hour or two, on nothing but locking down or moving students or sweeping buildings. And so that very first thing we do after we call for help, to law enforcement or other officials, we're focused only on safety and security. That's what we're doing before we call anyone or do anything else. We're thinking about our children and our staff and what we can do to keep them safe. And depending on what happens, then we know what we're doing in that moment.
And obviously there's not a lot of communication going on with anyone outside of just a very essential group of people.
That's right.
During that time
and we're
period.
Not, and we're not trying to keep anyone in the dark, but what we are trying to do is the principal's going to take 10 minutes to put together a voice message, or he or she's going to take 10 minutes to move students around and keep them safe. We want to moving students around and keeping them safe first.
Mm-hmm.
So that's safety and security is always going to be the first thing. Call for help and start securing, and people or moving them or locking down or whatever you need to do in that situation.
And once we've finished that initial phase, what's the next thing that we begin to turn our attention towards?
The very next thing we're going to do is send a message to the parents of the students who are involved, okay? So if we have a situation at Pisgah, we're going to send a voice message or a text or whatever they've signed up for, email or whatever, to those parents. So they know there's a lockdown at that school or their kids are being evacuated, and we can begin to tell them where they might pick them up and that kind of stuff. So after we work on safety and security, we're going to do our best to communicate directly to the parents of the students involved.
And that's a good segue right there, because it's really important for parents to go onto the portal that we've established and make sure that they have their email address in there, they have cell phone messages in there, because we have the capability of sending that message not just to a phone, but as a text message and as an email.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we can't do that unless those parents have gone in there and set that up.
Yep.
And so if they've set that up to get that in multiple means, they're going to get it that way. And so that's really important, because that's the first step of us trying to begin that communication is with parents, not with the public. You'll see that go out before you see a Facebook message or a Twitter post or anything else.
That's right. That's right.
So it's important for those parents to take the time to set that portal up correctly.
That's right.
One of the questions that always comes up, and we talked about this in our pre-show, but why do we notify some parents and not other parents during a crisis?
Well, first of all, we don't want to alarm anyone. So if we have an incident again at one of our high schools, Pisgah or Tuscola, we may notify the principal at River Bend or Bethel or something like that and tell them to lock their outside doors. And that's called a soft lockdown. But if we don't have any reason to believe those outlying schools are in danger, we're not going to scare their parents to death or their students to death. Mm-hmm. So rest assured, parents, if you get a call, we're doing something to secure the safety of your students as best we can. And if you don't get a call or a notification, you don't need to think that there's danger for your child, even if you've heard they're in a soft lockdown or something like that. So we just know that those messages can be confusing, and we only want to send them to the people who really need them.
Now we've had a lockdown or an evacuation, some sort of crisis at a school, and we've notified our parents, and we've taken care of that step. What's the next thing that we turn our attention to after notifying parents?
Well, the principal and usually Dr. Garrett are working on parent notification, and me or you, we're writing a press release to tell the rest of the community. So it's a broader, more general message that we'll post on our website, send to media outlets. People can begin to pick it up and read it and get a more general picture. So that's the order. Safety and security for students. Try to send a message to their parents. And then almost simultaneously, a different group of people, usually Mr. Trantham, who's interviewing me or myself, we're writing a press release to tell the general public what's going on. And then depending on how bad the situation is, once that general press release goes out, then sometimes we'll actually go to a little command post, and the fire marshal will be there and the sheriff or one of the police chiefs. And then we begin to think about, you know, do we need to talk to the media? Do we need to take water to the site? How long are the law enforcement people going to be in the school sweeping it? You're beginning to make decisions about, do we need to access the cameras at the school, or is this going to be over in an hour? Mm-hmm. So those are sort of tertiary or third level steps back.
And there are some things that we're doing right now, and just because we are constantly evaluating our plans and thinking, what are some things that we could do better? You know, we've talked about doing a better job of making sure that we notify those people that we have lots of people in our system that work at multiple schools, whether they be mechanics, IT staff.
Why don't you go ahead and talk about that? Because that was one of your ideas on what we're going
to
do there.
Well, we're trying to put together a very detailed process to make sure that those staff members that work for Haywood County Schools that might be the kind of person just by their job description that could wander, I don't say wander onto a site, but make their way onto a site.
They're going to change light bulbs or filters, and we don't want them going.
And we don't want them to wander into a school that's on lockdown. Many of these people have keys to the building, so you know, they walk in a back door with it that's locked, and they open the door up and go in just simply because of the nature of their job.
Right.
We want to make sure we protected those people, too, in this process.
That's right.
And then the other thing that we've talked about is making sure, and I don't know if you want to talk about this or me, but we've talked about...
We can both talk about it.
We've talked about making sure that we do a good job internally of making sure our leaders are up to date on what's going on. That's board members and other principals and other leaders in the district, so that the message that we're sending out and by other means of media are the same ones that we're all speaking. So we're all on the same page.
And that's in development, and hopefully people won't have to see that being used anytime soon. But we're thinking about short messages. If you're in a school 3 miles away and you're really not under any danger, we're working on sending you a real brief message just to let you reaffirm that to you and tell you a little bit of information about what's going on.
So, Dr. Nolte, I want to thank you so much for letting me be the host today and us to have this conversation about crisis planning. Folks, we thank you for listening and being a part of this as well. Have a safe and great day.